Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Shares of Lyft are gaining in the session. That stock up more than 7% on the back of its quarterly results. The company reported earlier this week its first adjusted EBITDA profit in the quarter, posting $23.8 million. That timeline much quicker than the timeline the company had initially put forward. For much more on that, let's bring in our two Brians. We've got Brian Roberts, the CFO of Lyft, and we've also got Brian Sozzi joining in on the conversation. Brian Roberts, good to have you on today. I hate to start on the headwinds in a quarter where, you know, all signs pointed to continued improvement, but you, along with your competitors, have made no secret about the fact that you have had a hard time attracting drivers to sort of meet this bounce back in demand. Give me a sense of what the metrics look like for you, especially in markets where those enhanced unemployment benefits have already expired.
Sure. No, maybe just to start too. I mean, we are super excited about Q2. It was a milestone quarter. To your point, we achieved adjusted EBITDA profitability on an entire company basis earlier than we said we would. And we did this while we delivered industry-leading revenue growth. And so if you just zoom out for a second, and if you look at Lyft over the past five quarters, you can see the business transformation we unlocked during the pandemic. So very excited about that. And if you look at what we did in Q2, we aggressively invested in building driver supply. We know the prices are too high. We know this, the waits are too long right now. And so we increased, if you look at our P&L, our contra revenue by 92% quarter over quarter as we delivered this quarter. So very excited about that. And then in the states where we did see federal unemployment get sunset earlier, we did notice that driver leads increased. And so we're excited about the pickup we're seeing on the supply side. Demand continues to outstrip supply. That is not necessarily a bad thing. If you go back in time over, you know, say the, you know, during the pandemic, earlier in the pandemic, having more demand is a wonderful thing. I sleep better at night. So what we've seen in Q2, we saw a 60% increase year over year in terms of active drivers. And then another metric that we shared, which is really important because it's not just the number of drivers, but it's how many rides or how many hours are they, you know, delivering on the platform. And what we saw in Q2 was that an average driver increased the number of rides on our platform over 20% versus Q2 of 2019 pre-pandemic. So we're super excited where we are. And quite frankly, I'm even more excited where we're going.
Hey, Brian, are you surprised by the market reaction to the quarter? Yes, a big sell-off yesterday. You had profitability for the first time. You went on the earnings call, said you were going to be profitable again, said the business model was going to be sustainably profitable. Why do you think investors reacted the way they did?
Quite frankly, I think people were afraid of what our competitor was going to report after the close. And I think there was just that overhang until they put out their announcement. But look, we're so proud of what, you know, our team delivered in Q2, and we love our strategy going into Q3. We want to continue improving service levels. We think that is the right strategy for Q3, but more importantly, the right strategy going forward. And we're able to do this while we actually, if you look at our outlook, we're increasing our adjusted EBITDA range for Q3. So we feel absolutely great about where we are and just the ability to invest right now, improving service levels. We know riders across the country want, you know, shorter pickup times and lower prices.
For those new to the Lyft story, Brian, how have you been able to reach profitability? I believe you called out that marker in the fourth quarter of 2019. What have you done and why do you think the model is, in fact, sustainably profitable?
Absolutely. Look, I've been at Lyft now for coming up on 7 years. I've seen this company from almost the very beginning. And if you look at what we've done just in the last 2 years, it's all about focus. Like we wake up and go to sleep thinking about, you know, US and Canada, you know, transportation. And that includes everything from, you know, ride sharing, which we're predominantly known for, but bikes and scooters and transit, we have rental cars, and it's just this focus. And so if you look at what we've done on the adjusted EBITDA line, if you go back a year ago, we had a $280 million loss that we just took up to a positive 24 million. And the consistency of the performance over the last five quarters, every single quarter we're getting better. And what we're trying to tell investors is, look, we're not only focused at maintaining adjusted EBITDA profitability, but actually increasing it. So I would chalk a lot of it up to focus. I'd also say, look, we're founder led and it means something. You know, John and Logan have been thinking about transportation for over a decade. And it means something to have founders that are so passionate about that because they attract, you know, team members who believe in the vision and the mission. Mm-hmm. And just when you think about what this company has faced in the last year, be it the pandemic, be it California regulation, I mean, we faced a lot and the team just stepped up. And so the resilience and just that tenacious focus on delivering is bearing out in our numbers. So very excited.
Yeah, I don't want to take away anything from the profitability on an adjusted basis. When you look at it on an unadjusted basis, the net loss for the quarter, $251.9 million, that was larger than what analysts expected, $230.1 million. We saw the stock down originally when you reported the numbers. And when you look at maybe a piece of that that people are interested in is the amount that Lyft has to pay to attract the drivers, as you said, it's a big important piece of the customer experience on the platform. So how much more have you seen those prices to attract drivers rise? You had some estimates that it was 12 million during the quarter to get drivers back on. How are you seeing that cost rise, and what was it in the quarter?
Sure. So I think there's there may be some investor confusion is that the higher prices are paying for the driver incentives in terms of how it flows for our P&L. And so if you just look at Q2, literally the quarter we just reported, we increased what's known as contra revenue, these incentives, by 92% quarter over quarter. So we went from $196 million to $376 million while we delivered adjusted EBITDA profitability and higher contribution margins. And we've guided even to higher contribution margins in Q3 when you adjust, because we did have a little one-time, probably about 100 basis point benefit in Q2 in contribution margin. But I think where investors are confused is the higher prices are funding these incentives. So it is in terms of how it flows through our P&L, you couldn't invest as much as we did and still generate adjusted EBITDA profitability if it wasn't being funded by the higher prices. But we don't want to rely on that. We're really focused on improving long-term rider satisfaction. We have to improve service levels, and that's both pickup times and prices. So we're going to keep pushing. And again, if you look at our outlook for Q3, we're doing this while we increase adjusted EBITDA in terms of our outlook.
Brian, what's the conversation within the company right now about vaccine mandates for drivers as well as passengers? We've seen a number of firms come out and mandate vaccines for employees at the corporate level, but not necessarily the frontline essential workers. Why has Lyft been hesitant to do that? And do you think you'll move on it?
Sure. So as it relates to Lyft employees, we have mandated to return to the office, you have to be vaccinated. We think it's the right thing in terms of safety, for our employee community. As it relates to drivers, we've been very focused on health safety. It's just so important in terms of, we've never removed the mask requirement. It has always been there. And so, we are, our drivers are independent contractors. We are a lead generation platform for our drivers. So we can't mandate that drivers have vaccines. But again, I this is maybe a personal plea, get vaccinated. I mean, it's just that the data is so strong about the benefits, and just do it for your family, do it for your neighbor. But we strongly encourage everyone. I mean, the access is there. So, and we've funded rides, even for people who have that transportation challenge to get a vaccine, we've provided free rides. So we are definitely leaning in as much as possible because we want this country to move forward. And it's just, it's hard with all these variants, et cetera. But again, the data is bearing out that the country is moving again. And even in July, we did see rides increase month over month, despite the, all the scary headlines around the Delta variant.
And Brian, lastly for me, do you think Lyft is unfairly compared by investors to Uber? At this point in your cycle, where the companies are, they really are two different companies.
Yeah, we actually love that. I mean, we're now competing against this conglomerate. And if you want to invest in freight, you have a choice. We're this pure play around transportation. And I think if you look at our results, and you look at the, in our supplement deck, we show our adjusted EBITDA progress in terms of where we were and, this most recent quarter, but where we're going as well. We think investors will, especially as we're emerging from this pandemic, we're a pure play in the recovery. Like there was really, if you look at our business, we had, you know, nothing that helped us during COVID. And so coming out of it, we're a pure play. And so I think investors, there's a lot of investors who are excited about this ability just to invest on transportation and not worry about all this food competition, lots of different players, lots of, you know, aggressive companies out there, or freight or all these other things. It's just, it's a pure play in markets that they understand in terms of US and Canada.
You sound like some fighting words there, Brian. It's good to talk to you today. Brian Roberts, the CFO of Lyft, as well as Brian Sazi, joining in on the conversation.